his bar kochba. But ultimately, he did himself in because he changed one question mark in a pasuk. David Melech asked, "Hello, is it conceivable? Ata Hashem's nachtonu that you're leaving us? Keli keli loma azatani." And bar kochba said, "God, forget about it." A person relies; he relies on his own two hands. That's the only way to get through. And this was the durchfall. This was the bankruptcy of bar kochba. You have to ask one question, however. I avoided that question. Remember, we started out with the rooster and the hen. What Rabbi Yochanan, who is the author of this statement, is trying to say and trying to teach us is that the ultimate question that you have to ask yourself is, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that if a goy like Rome defiles the life of a Jew and of a Jewish community by not allowing them to follow this minhag with the chicken and the rooster, there's no question about it that the goy deserves to have his head split open. There are no two ways about it. If you can talk, HaKol Kol Yaakov, if you can talk to the person, okay. But if he doesn't understand talk, what are you supposed to do? Ayadayin Yidei Esav, the only thing you understand is a punch in the nose. There's only one question that Rav Yochanan is bringing to the fore. Atanagola v'tanagolta chorif tu malko. Okay, so they went ahead, and these couple of drunk Romans who took the chicken, and who took, who shter, who were got in the way of this simcha. Look what the result was. That from one chicken being stolen by the Romans, from one simcha being disturbed a little, ultimately it led to what? It led to a full-fledged revolution. That violence begets violence. Now there are times when your back is up against the wall, you can't help it. But what is being asked over here, in the case of the chicken and the hen and the rooster, was it worth it all? So your daughter didn't have the red bangle around her thigh. She's going to have any less good luck in the 40 years of marriage that she is yet to have, or more? Where is perspective for one little dumb red bangle, or in this case, the chicken? You set off a revolution? And that's the issue. That's the issue that we spoke about this morning. That there are those who insist that the only way that you can get things done is with the fist, and if anyone will open up a mouth, we'll give it to you down your mouth. Harchev picha, you'll open up your mouth, Amaleo, and I'll show you, I'll put my fist right down it. But, you know, that's a way, there's no question about it. But is it worth it all? Because ultimately such violence begets, breeds more violence and yet more violence, and you don't know where to stop. And this is the point of Rabbi Yochanan. Was it the right kind of situation? Was it the right kind of decision? I don't know that Rabbi Yochanan is saying no to Bar Kochba, to Bar de Roma here. That's not what he is saying. But he is saying, hey, you people in Tur Malka, maybe if you controlled yourself a little, and better that you didn't make a scene out of it, that things would have quieted down. So if there weren't these two chickens, there were another two chickens. And if there weren't these other two chickens, so get something else. Go get a piece of gefilte fish with ichveis vos, with an egg. The symbol could have been accomplished by something else. All right, it's not an ideal situation that this grub Roman is going to come and tell me that I can't have my chasana the way I want it. Sure, that's a travesty of justice. But you're going to set off a revolution for that? And that's the whole issue. Yeah.
Sorry, but I'm continuing with what you said this morning. I have to read. The story of the Ashina, Rabbi Zachariah ben Akula, Zero and Zilla.
You will notice in the text that Rabbi Yochanan did not pass judgment on Rabbi Zachariah bar Avkulas. All right, let's see. All right. It says, oh, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry. Okay, there is, all right, we'll leave it be. Is he a hero or a villain? Okay, there are other, by the way, there is another text which indicates Omar Rav Yossi and not Rav Yochanan. Someone else passed judgment, not Rav Yochanan. Because Rav Yochanan was too smart, it seems, to pass judgment on something. How can you go ahead and decide, Marvin, if I were to ask you, Rav Chaya ben Avkulas was hero or villain, what would you say? Okay. But does that make him a villain? No. Would you give it a plus or a minus? Definitely a minus. Definitely a minus. Okay? Elo? No. For paralyzing any kind of action at this spot. Look, you know that there is a din of Moser. Someone who wants to do you in, and who's a Jew, so you don't come to the Sanhedrin and you don't ask for two witnesses, kanoim pogimbo, you go and you knock him off, and then you worry about it when the Rabboni Shalom is called. That's all. And this is a din of pikuach nefesh. Baal Kamsa was out to do Bnei Yisrael in and the rabbis in because of the stand that they took. Now Baal Kamsa was entirely right, because we learned, as we did this afternoon, that what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskin like Baal Kamsa. Eloma, that Rav Chaya ben Avkulas paralyzed any kind of motion. Now, I can understand Rav Chaya ben Avkulas, because I've just been saying what? We learned from this. It's finished, they're going to kill me. If I kill him for being the troublemaker, who's going to get me? The Federation is going to get me. That I'm a zealot, that I'm a meshugana, and finished. And you know who's going to suffer when the Federation gets me? None other than the kids in Hillel Academy. Simple as that. What do you do? So hero and villain, you know, if you'll just retrench from those two categories that are so antithetical, but there's no question about it, Rabbi Yochanan says it's a mess. If you're giving it to me as plus and a minus, it would seem as if that it's more of a minus than a plus. Because there is no solution. There is no solution. Because if the Gemara will put in a solution, that'll mean that's hadrocha, that is the Mesorah for the way you should act every single generation. And you honestly can tell me that in every single generation these issues can be addressed the right way? This is the whole din of Golus. This is the whole din of the imperfection of being outside of Golus. Of not having a Sanhedrin where the intelligentsia goes ahead and debates this, and 71 men sit and they argue it out and they hack it out and they come to a conclusion and the whole country is behind them and finished. We don't have such a situation. Again, Yedam Machzach Shabbos Fazir. Some of you are going to be bored with page 22. Marvin Schwartz pegged it correctly, that this has become, this little piece, a couple of lines, has become an obsession with me. And I want to share, since the majority of you have not heard this from me, I want to share this page with you. Those of you who have heard it, I consider it your duty to go and do something else rather than listen to it for the 13th time from me. Why waste such precious time? As long as you leave the tape recorder. You heard of Bar Ilan University. Its founder and guiding light was Meir Bar Ilan. His real name was Meir Berlin. His father was for 40 years the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhiner Yeshiva, the mother of all yeshivas of Europe. The father's name was Netziv. It's written there, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. The Netziv He's one of the most innovative individuals in the last 150 years. When Zionism started to break, he was the only Rosh Yeshiva who said, Zionism? What are you talking about, Zionism? That's the way a Jew feels. That's the way a Jew gets on the bandwagon and goes back to Eretz Yisrael. He had a young student in the yeshiva at the time. The student was 19 years old, who learned all of his Zionistic inspiration from the Netziv. The student's name was none other than Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi of Israel, the modern-day lover of Zion and of Jews. This is his introduction to Sefer Bereishis. If anything should be translated into English, because it speaks to today's world and also to today as a day, Tisha B'Av, it is this page which is his preface to Sefer Bereishis. Look at line 1 just for a little bit. Zeh HaSefer, says the Netziv, this book, HaNikra Sefer Bereishis, which you and I call Bereishis, is Nikra B'fi HaNeviim Sefer HaYoshar. The Nevi'im give it another name. It's called Sefer HaYoshar. You know what it means to be a Yoshar? Straight as an arrow. Yoshar is the Hebrew word for straight. Simple, straight as an arrow. Go to line 4. Umeforesh Rabbi Yochanan, the same Rabbi Yochanan that we've been talking about. You see the bracket over there. Rabbi Yochanan explains, Ze Sefer Avrom Yitzchok VeYaakov, the book of Bereishis, or Sefer HaYoshar, the book of straightness, is the book of Avrom Yitzchok and Yaakov, Shenikra'u, line 5, Yesharim. Because among all other names that we call Avrom Yitzchok and Yaakov, we call them as straight as an arrow. Shenemar, because we read in the Pasuk by Bilam and Balak, where Bilam, the prophet who cursed, whose job was to curse Bnei Yisrael, ultimately looked at them and said, God, as far as I'm concerned, Tomos Nafshi Mos Yisharim. When I die, I want my soul to be considered together with those of the dead souls of the Yisharim. Which Yisharim? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now here's a guy whose job, and who could have made a fortune out of the job, whose job was to curse Bnei Yisrael. And as was believed in the ancient world, when you open up your mouth and you're a Bilam and you curse, the curse will come true. And at the end, when he could not curse them, but instead he said, Matovu Alecho Yaakov, and he gave them this bracha that was originally supposed to be a curse, he ultimately turned to himself and said, Hey Bilam, you jackass. Bilam Tomos Nafshi Mos Yisharim, you fool. Everyone's got to die, you've got to take stock. If I want to be in the company of anyone in the next world, I want to be in the company of the Yisharim, the three who are called straight, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Says the Netziv, Yesh Lohavin Atam, you've got to understand what's going on here. Lomo Kara Bilam Es Avoseinu B'Shem Yisharim. Why does Bilam call the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov straight as an arrow? B'Yichud, and this is especially what he uses. And he doesn't call them what? Velo Tzadikim, doesn't call them righteous. Velo Chasidim, he doesn't call them Chasidim. Or Chedome, or 100 other names that you can call them. He calls Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov Yisharim as straight as an arrow. The Gam, you got to understand, Loma Mechuneze HaSefer B'Yichud B'Kinu Yisharim. All right, so Bilam called them Yisharim. But why in the words of our Nevi'im do we call Sefer Bereishis, which is the topic of discussion of who else? But Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, why do we call them Yisharim? The Sefer Yisharim. So it wasn't only Bilam, it was also the Nevi'im. And obviously, Bilam Yispalel al Atzmo, he davened for himself, as we just said, Sheyehe Achariso, that in the end, he should die, Kemo Ba'alei Zeh HaKinui, like all of those whom he just called Yisharim, like Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He says, in order to understand Bilam's thinking, you've got to go from Bilam and this curse to another pasuk that was said at the end of the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. This was in Parshas Ha'azinu. V'ho'inyan de Nisparei B'Shiras Ha'azinu. says, in order to understand Bilam's thinking, why Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in his mind were considered as straight as an arrow, you have to go to Ha'azinu al Haposuk, Ayin Hei Pei al Haposuk, the Posuk which Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hatzur, God, Tomim Pa'olo, whatever he does is perfect. You know why? Because he's tzaddik, God is righteous, the Yoshar who, and also God is what? As straight as an arrow. What do you need God as straight as an arrow if you've already said what? That he's a tzaddik. A tzaddik should be straight as an arrow. A tzaddik is a person who represents tzedek, justice and righteousness. He says you are right and you are wrong no matter what the consequences are. This is the Ribbono Shel Olam. What do you need to give him tzaddik v'yoshar harab hagol? Okay? All of a sudden you're giving titles to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not only a tzaddik, he's a yoshar. Not only is he a rab, but he's a gol. He's a genius. What is the yoshar that you're calling the Ribbono Shel Olam? Says the Netziv on line 9, you've got to understand HaShevach Yoshar, that this compliment, this adjective yoshar, was said by Moshe Rabbeinu, who ne'emar lahatzdik haddin HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chum b'yesheni. That one word was Moshe Rabbeinu's way of saying tziduk hadin. You know what tziduk hadin is? When a loved one dies and you're at the cemetery and you finally bury the loved one or the member of the congregation, what are you supposed to say? Baruch Dayan Emes. You accept the righteousness of the judge. That's tziduk hadin. I have no choice but to say that you're right. You did this, it's a tragedy, but you're right. Says the Netziv that the word yoshar in one three-letter word was the tziduk hadin for us accepting the Churban of the second bias of the second Beis HaMikdash, because that generation Shehayah Dor Ikesh Upsalto, that generation was a Dor Ikesh, stubborn as a mule, Upsalto. You know what Psalto means? No? Close. What is Psil? What is a Psil Techelas? Yeah, Mazik Ptil Techelas. It's a thread. How do you put the threads in the tzitzis that should have been blue? How do you do it? You put it straight down, or do you take it and you wind it and you coil it and coil it and then knot it twice and wind it and coil it and coil it and then knot it twice and wind it and coil it? Is that anything but straight? What is the opposite of yosher, as straight as an arrow? Dor ikesh, upsal tol, psil. Do you ever look at a Havdalah candle? How do you make the Havdalah candle? It's a flochten, geflochten, it's woven one into the other. Is that straight? It's about as straight as the crookedest arrow in the world. It's a pretzel. Dori Keshu Psaltol, you're a bunch of crooked individuals. You generation of the second generation. Where are they crooked? What's going on? Line 10. Uperashnu, we spoke elsewhere, says the Netziv, that the generation that saw the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, number one, Hoyu Tzadikim. Every one of them in the second generation, you know what they were? They were Tzadikim. And not only that, they were Hasidim. They went Lifnim Mishur Hasadim. This is the generation of the Churban. And they were Amelei Batorah. Do you know what kind of Torah was learned in Yerushalayim? The day that the bias was destroyed, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you have no imagination of what Torah was like in that generation. But what did we call them? Yoshar, like Avram Yitzchak Yaakov? Or Dor Ikesh, Moshe Rabbeinu calls them what? Dor Ikesh, you stubborn mules, upsalto. You are as crooked as a pretzel. Ach lo hayu yesharim b'halichos olam. They may have been tzaddikim. They may have been chassidim. They sat and learned the shir. But there was one thing that was missing. There was something crooked about them. Lo hayu yesharim. They were not straight b'halichos olam. What do these two words, halichos olam, mean? In the way they conducted their world. They were as crooked as could be. Yeah, I know. But in Novi it says halichos olam. I'm telling you, he says halichos olamim. You know why? Because you'll soon see how he works it out. I'll comment on it. I am saying perish, but I don't think that I am wrong in this case. Al-Kain, as a result of this strange breed of Jew that existed in at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, something strange happened. There was a weird piece in this puzzle. They were tzaddikim, they were chassidim, they learned Torah. But this Yashar was missing, and we still don't know what Yashar means. He still hasn't defined it. He will only define it when we get later between lines 15 and 20. Al-Kaini says, therefore, mipnei sinas chinon and belivon ze es ze, because of a certain quality of hate, of senseless, useless hate that they had in their heart for one another, this is what happened. Every time they saw someone who didn't act in their minhag exactly the way their thoughts were about how you're supposed to be frum, they suspected that if anyone would deviate from the way they did things, then you are a shagat. So I went ahead and I stood for Kaddish, and you, your minhag was to sit for Kaddish. You know what I am? I'm an apikoros. And if anyone can have the chutzpah to walk in and stand for Kaddish when you sit, then who knows what kind of a Shabbos he keeps. Gival geschrieben, you can't trust his kashas. You can't eat his chickens. This is a strange thing. Tzadikim, chassidim, they sat and they worked the Torah, but there was something crooked about the way they conducted their worlds, their daily life, their daily relationships to another human being. If I come in and walk in with a green tie and no one wears a green tie, then it's biyadua, it's a fact that my father's aunt's mother was an Irishman and therefore I'm not Jewish. Get him out. Get him out. I'm sorry, and as a result of this way of crookedness in the way they conducted their light's view of the world, this is worse than murder. I would walk in with my green tie into the Beis Medrash, and guess what? No one would stand and talk to me. If you, Gabbai, gave me an aliyah, you know what would happen to you? Half your beard would be cut off. Your wife, you expect to have someone to help now that she's on her back? They'll let her rot, chas v'shalom, if you gave me an aliyah. Is this any better than shlichas domim, b'derech afloga, you know, using a borrowed term? And do you know what the way these people thought? Such a mentality brought them l'chol ha-ra'os sheba'olam, to the most incredible evils in the world that you can think of, ad shecharav ha-bayis, until the Ribbono Shel Olam said, no way, Jose, we've got to go ahead and destroy this bias. This is what I created a Beis HaMikdash for. This is the kind of humanity that I want to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, to create sanctity and perfection in this little haven, and then this ideal religious haven called Kodesh and Kodesh Kodshim, and then they'll go out and do this in the streets of Yerushalayim. To hell with a Beis HaMikdash. It'll burn. In no way am I going to allow such a thing. And this is why we need, in one word, Yosher, Tzidok Hadin, being as straight as an arrow. And we still don't know from the Netziv what this quality of being straight as an arrow is. Now he first starts to get into it. Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu Yosher Hu. You should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is straight as an arrow. Ve'eino sovel tzadikim. He will not suffer from these tzadikim ka'elu, these so-called tzadikim. And the only way the Ribbono Shel Olam will let you call yourself a tzaddik is when you go as straight as an arrow, gam b'halichos olam. Okay? So I don't know if we have a drasha here. Gam b'halichos olam. The way you walk in the world, you gotta be straight, and not v'lo ba'akmimus, and not a crooked pretzel. Your tzitkus is no tzitkus, and your chassidus is no chassidus, and your Torah is no Torah. You are nothing more than a crooked pretzel. Afal gav shehu l'shem shamayim. Even though I know that this is all for the sake of heaven, this is all for frumkeit. Dezeh, this kind of frumkeit, this kind of shem shamayim, garein chulban habria, this is what creates the destruction of what a world was created for, v'harisus yishev ha'aretz, and this destroys civilization the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Now we can see why we pick Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and call them Yisharim. Why? Shemilvad shehu yu tzadikim. There's no question about it. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you call tzadikim. And chasidim, there's no question about it. You would call them chasidim. The ohavei Hashem, and lovers of Hashem, there's no question. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov loved Hashem. But Ostan hayoser efshar. I mean, these were 100%. These were pure, unadulterated tzadikim, chasidim, and lovers of Hashem. They reached the ultimate. In addition to this 100%, they were still more than 100%. Od hayu yisharim. They were yisharim. What does that mean? They were straight as an arrow. What more is there left? And here's where he lets us in. Hainu, what I'm talking about, says the Netziv, Shehisnagu im umos olam afidl olde elili micha'orim. You know where they were yisharim, as straight as an arrow? Take a look at Sefer Bereishis, the way Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov dealt with the goyim. What kind of goyim lived in the times of Avram? Sodom and Amorah. Could you get any worse than that? If someone went ahead and ever called Passaic and Clifton, Sodom and Amorah, the twin city, the Sodom and Amorah of today, you know what you got to do? You got to pick up and move elsewhere. Because when you've been called Asdenik or Anamoranik, you've been called. How did Avram Avinu relate to Sodom and Amorah? Mikol Makom, continue. Notwithstanding these people who were the ugliest idol worshippers in the world, Mikol Makom Hayu Imam Ba'ava, this man loved. Avram Avinu loved Sodom and Amorah, v'choshu l'tovasam, and he was truly concerned for their welfare. Please tell me where. Where was he concerned for the welfare of Sodom and Amorah? When Avram Avinu stood and begged for what? If there'll be chamishin tzadikim b'soch ha'ir, what was Avram's request? Don't destroy the tzadikim or don't destroy the city? Don't destroy the city. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of a tzaddik wouldn't today want to do in Sodom and Amorah? And if they're not 50 Rabbeinu Shel Olam, if there'll be 40 tzaddikim b'soch ha'ir, hatashchis, will you destroy the city and its people, these Olde Avodah Zarah, because of the 40 tzaddikim? What is Avram? I mean, this is one of the high points of Avram's life and his Avram's career. This is the city that did in his nephew Lot, that made this Lot a chaza, that made him an idiot. And you, Avram Avinu, are standing, and you are begging before Ribbono Shel Olam that he save the city. And you know how you beg? With the most incredible chutzpah that you've ever heard from anyone. Hashofet kol ha'oretz lo yaseh mishpat. You, the judge of this world, have gone berserk, and you, cholil alecha, you're not going to do it, I'm not going to let you. That's a yosha. Avram Avinu loved Avodah Zarah. He ran away from it, from his father's house. When anyone runs away from a parent's house, you try to run away as far as possible. Do you protect the interests of a parent? Or do you run? Do you spit? Do you throw stones? Avram Avinu ran away from Avodah Zarah. Here you have Sodom and Amorah, the lowest scum on the earth, who were worshippers of Avodah Zarah. And do you know what you have? You have an Avram Avinu standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam using words that no other human being ever used until Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, when he demanded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to a Din Torah for doing what he does to Bnei Yisrael. Cholir alecha! Don't you dare destroy these people. Now why? They were paying him taxes? Or out of love? This was the yosher. Here is the definition of the yosher. Line 18, the second word. Kamo she'onu ro'im kamo hishtateach Avram Avinu lispalel al Sodom. Go look how Avram Avinu demeaned himself and fought to daven for the welfare of Sodom. He hated them nonetheless. Ves Malkom and their king Tachlis Sina. He hated whatever there was to hate in the ultimate of hate. Avur Rishasam, because of the way they conducted themselves. Kimavor b'ma'amarola melech Sodom. That's what he told Sodom ultimately. You're not even going to give me a shoelace. I don't want anything from you. Mikol makom, nonetheless, here is the definition of a yoshar. Chafetz b'kiyumom. He wants their ultimate welfare and their kiyum. Why? Because the same Ribbono Shel Olam that created Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shmerel, and Bela, Rivka, Sarah, Rachel, and Leah also created whom? It's the same one who created Sodom. Now there you are. Avram Avinu is not a tzaddik. Avram Avinu is not a chosid. Avram Avinu is not an oyev Hashem. Avram Avinu is not a Talmud Chacham. Avram Avinu is a what? Is a Yosha. Now we come full swing to the Netziv. When we say in Parshas Ha'azinu, Tzadik v'yosha hu, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you brought justice in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, because you are a yosha, and I am accepting on myself the Tziduk Adin that you destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Because we deserved it. In Yerushalayim, at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, we never had Torah as warm and as hot. It was thunder and lightning when it came to Torah. In Yerushalayim, there were never such tzaddikim as you found in that second, in that generation of the second Beis HaMikdash. In Yerushalayim, there were never such chassidim as you found in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. And what did we learn? Tanya, Omar, Rabbi Eliezer, when it came to Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, ultimately, whom did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam paskin according to? He paskin not according to the Rabbanon who sat there, not according to Kamsa, not according to Joe Smith, but Baal Kamsa. He took all of his tzaddikim and all of his hasidim and all of his Torah learners, and he took them and destroyed 1 million of them and the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, because don't give me your Beis HaMikdash and don't give me your phony frumkai. It's Dor Ikeshu Pesalto. You are as crooked as a pretzel. It is probably one of the most indicting things that I have ever in my life read, studied, or learned. Marvin got it correctly, and it's felt by others. It is an obsession. It is something that speaks to us in our generation today more than ever before. I keep on coming down hard on Lubavitch and on Satmar. These are only paradigms. These are only models of thought. The same thing exists in the non-Hasidic world. If you ever learn Torah and Tells, I want to tell you clearly that there is a thought in the Tells of Yeshiva that if you didn't learn in the Tells of Yeshiva, you never learned Torah in your life. I learned by Brisk in the Soloveitchik family. Brisk also, and especially today in Eretz Yisrael, believes that if you didn't learn in the Brisk Ekolo or the Brisk Ederech, that you cannot call yourself a child who has learned Torah. You don't understand the Bereishis Bara Elokim. You cannot understand the Pasuk. You cannot even understand the Halacha. You don't know how to strike a match and light the Havdalah candle if you didn't learn it Brisk style. The insanity that exists and that has existed for the last 200 years, that if you do it this way, then you're obviously a Shegetz and I cannot eat from your kashrus, is an insanity that has gripped us all. And if ever there was a Dor Ikeshu Psalto, there was a stubborn mule generation, and as crooked as a pretzel, it is which generation? After the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, it's us. And Torah has never been better. Torah has never been bigger. We've never had bigger tzaddikim. We've never had greater chassidim. And we've never had more Harav Hagons in the world than we've ever had today. It's insane. And the one who pays most for it is the quiet, humble human being who is looking for a derech, who's looking to follow. And Nebuch, who do you follow? When everyone is either afraid to talk out, or when they talk out, they're only interested in their crooked vested interests. And that's what brought the Churban. I think it's soon time that we start getting ready.